grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. These 3 days, from Thursday into Sunday morning, are the high point of world history. What happened on these 3 days sent shockwaves that reverberate all the way down to us, to this time, to this place. The shockwaves of the crucifixion pass through our altar. The shockwaves of the crucifixion reach our ears and our lips, and so pass into our bodies and souls. These days, what took place on these days becomes part of us. Our lives are different. We are different because of what happened then and how it reaches us now. By Thursday of Holy Week, all the threads were coming together. Jesus has already entered Jerusalem as God's Messiah. The Jewish leaders have formed their plot to kill him. They've cut their deal with Judas Iscariot. You give us Jesus, and we'll fill your pockets with silver, 30 pieces. From that point on, it's only a matter of time, waiting, watching, looking for the right moment, the perfect opportunity to make the transaction. But other threads are at work as well. Pilgrims fill Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. Thursday, the day that everything must be prepared for the sacred meal in the evening. They have to find a location. They have to prepare the food. They need to set the table. And most importantly of all, they must sacrifice the perfect, unblemished Passover lamb. You can see the care that they take with all of these details, the pains that they undergo to carry it out. Jesus has longed to eat this meal with his disciples. His entire ministry, we could say his entire life, from the moment of his conception, his birth, his baptism in the Jordan River, his teaching and miracles, all of his ministry and life has been aimed at this night and the 3 days that follow. The drama heightens, the tension builds. And then they're together. They're eating the meal. And it's while they're at the table that the 12 get their first shock. Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. One of you. Can you imagine what they thought and felt? But which one? The character of each disciple will be tested in the time to come. And they all wonder, as we should, am I the one? None of them boast of their strength. None of them laugh at the prediction. None of them say, surely not. They know the truth. Their hearts are changeable. Any one of them might easily be turned toward evil. It can happen unexpectedly. Led astray by their own sinful desire, deceived by the devil, it could happen to them. It could happen to us, and it should give us pause. These moments are heavy. Betrayal, sorrow, guilt, the punishment foretold for the traitor. And yet Jesus remains patient with them. He has something bigger for them and for us. Because even as this treacherous plot is at hand, even as the threads woven by Judas and the Jewish leaders are about to unravel, even then, there is the plan of God. Jesus says, the Son of Man goes, not just as the betrayer arranges it, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, as God had it written of him. Because nothing can stop what God is doing here. Not even Judas's evil, not the powers of darkness, nothing can stop the plan of God. The Passover lamb, the true and final, the perfect and unblemished Passover lamb, will be sacrificed. He will be sacrificed on the following day. And those marked by the blood of the lamb will live by faith in him. And then comes a bigger shock. You could call it the ultimate shock of that Thursday. As they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Bread, wine, ordinary, but extraordinary. "My body, my blood of the covenant," he says. And we believe it. We believe that what Jesus gave his disciples on that night is the same as what he gives us today on this altar. In with and under the bread and wine, his true body and his true blood. Why do we believe it? We believe it first because these are words spoken by Christ our Lord himself. And he is the one who created all things, and he is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. If he says it, then it is so. We also believe it because this is secondly spoken on the night, on the eve of his death. These are his last words and testament, his final will. And no one messes with the will of someone, and that will takes effect when that person dies. So we receive it as he gave it. And then third, these words recall God's covenant with Israel, as we heard in Exodus chapter 24. That covenant, when God's words were read to the people and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We are committed to him." You know, of course, how that turned out. Only a few short chapters later, and it seems like all that the Lord has commanded not to do, they would do, like making the golden calf and worshiping it. But on that occasion in Exodus 24, a sacrifice is made, an animal is killed. There is an agreement between God and his people, sealed by that death and by its blood. "I will be their God," says the Lord, "and they will be my people." And God commits himself to that covenant. He commits himself to a covenant of love for his people, a covenant sealed not just with the blood of the Lamb, but a covenant that would be fulfilled with the death of his own son. It's a solemn moment. The blood is sprinkled on the people. The blood is poured out on the base of the altar. Moses and the other leaders are on the mountain, and this covenant is sealed not only with those sacrifices, but with a meal. They eat and they drink, and it says they see the face of God. It is an amazing moment. An amazing moment for them, and an amazing moment for us, because we have here the blood, as Jesus said, of my covenant, of a new covenant, of a covenant sealed not with the death of a lamb, but with the death of God's own Son. And a meal is set before us, a meal of fellowship with God that brings us into his family. A meal that is not simply a bread and wine, but is the very body and blood of that Son given to us. We eat and we drink, and we see God now by faith, until we see him face to face. And God says here at this meal, in this covenant, God says, "I will obey. I will be cursed. I will bless you." And so as we take this cup, we participate in the blood of Christ. As we take this bread, we participate in the very body of Christ. Here is the power to forgive, the power that we need. Here is the power of Christ to renew our everyday lives. Here is the power of our God to make us one in Christ. As I think about this night on which our Lord was betrayed and what he gives to us here, I think of what it is that we bring to the table, what the disciples brought to the table. Judas brought his betrayal. Peter brought his bravado, which would lead to his denying Jesus three times. The other disciples brought themselves, but they would run away and hide. Jesus brought himself, his very body, his blood, his life, and what we need. What do we bring to the table this day? We probably think that we don't bring a whole lot to the table. Maybe we know that we bring our sins to the table, but the most important thing is what Christ brings to this table. For you, his body, his blood, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And he has earnestly desired to share this meal with you. These are the shockwaves that went through the world on that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this is the shockwave that comes into your world on this Thursday. The shockwave of Christ crucified and risen from the dead, giving to you all that he won. He left that meal on that Thursday night, singing a hymn and going to the Mount of Olives, where he would be betrayed into the hands of sinners. But he went because he wanted to be here today, this moment, this time, for you, as your dear Lord and Savior, with all the gifts that he won, and with all the power that is in them. In Jesus' name, amen.